That's the way to get a service started. Well, take your hymnals, number 538. Stand and sing, Blessed Be the Name. I think you know this, number 538. Everybody take a hymnal and join us. Sing out now.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. And God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, this sounds like maybe it's not as familiar as I thought it would be, but that's okay. You know the chorus. Sing out on that. But look at the third verse. A couple names of the Lord, Redeemer, Savior, Friend of Man. Let's sing that one, and then we'll sing the last as well. Together.
Redeemer, Savior, Friend of Man, one true and final Lord. Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose way shall ever cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing over the service. Good to see you here today. Good to have this lady here with us today. Amen. You tell us your name? Okay. Well, that's right. I'm glad we can be the stopover on the way. That's all right. We're glad to have you, ma'am. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. And then you may be seated, and then the choir will sing another number. All right, Father, we love You, and we sure thank You for this time together. We thank You, Lord, for the great opportunity we have to worship in spirit and in truth. I want to thank You for the wonderful revival meeting we had this week. Although, Lord, we've got many out today for some reason. I know we have some that had to work, and I know Miss Ramona's sick. Brother Joaquin's in Hawaii with their grandson. That treatment there, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. But I appreciate those that are here today. And we're glad to have Miss Kindred here with us today as she running late to her church and decided to stop in here. Well, we're glad she did that. And Lord, we just pray You'll bless her for being here as well. We love You and thank You for all You do. Bless the choir and the special music for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated.
as we sang that song, I was thinking it talked about the second coming. You know, somebody's predicted it's going to be tomorrow, but it could be today. You know, so be ready. All right, well, let's stand. We've got one visitor over here, and let's stand. We'll greet each other while the choir comes down.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing, and thank you for being here in the service today. And we're going to move right ahead here in just a moment. Mention a couple of things quickly. I mentioned Brother Joaquin and Sabini left this morning at 7 o'clock flying to Hawaii. Their grandson, Nico, they've gone there to do some treatments on him that they, you know, they were in Japan with Alexis. Of course, Ivan's in the military, but he's actually back here in the States in school. And so he's been sick for really since he's been born. And so they took him to Hawaii. And so they just kind of determined all that the middle part of this week, past week. And so that's why they left out early this morning to head to Hawaii. They'll be gone about 8 days, I guess. And so pray for them while they're there and pray for Nico, if you would. And then Bethany just told me, I have a cousin, you may remember her and her husband were here back early on in the year, or actually last year. Lives up in Michigan. They have a friend who had a little baby girl named Chloe, who is 9 years old, had some issues, and now has gotten bad enough that they've had to put her on, they had to intubate her, and she's just not doing well. I don't know anything about the family right now, but we'll find out. But anyway, she asked and said, would you please ask the church to pray for a little girl named Chloe? Of course, we have a Chloe here, so it shouldn't be too difficult to remember. But anyway, let's remember that in prayer, too. As I mentioned, and Miss Ramona's at home, she had a kind of a bad night. I think she's going to try to come tonight. She had a bit of a bad night last night, so she woke up late, and so that's why she's not here. Jennifer Mascalier's in Virginia with her family because of her. Is it her birthday? Somebody, yeah, okay. And so she's in Virginia, so remember that if you would while they're up there. And like I said, several others we need to be praying for, and we're surely missing today, but I hope that they'll be able to either be here tonight or maybe next week. All right, continue to pray for Brother Steve Morris. They did find out that he does have prostate cancer. cancer. At this point, it seems to be minimal. Now, you know, until they really go in and do the surgery itself, he goes back May the 1st for the sort of follow-up with the oncologist to decide exactly what to do, whether it's that time-release chemo that I've known many men to have that done, and it's always seemed to have been very effective, or because there are places with all through his prostate, they may just go ahead and take it out, which would be certainly the doctor right now seems to think that it's all sort of included, and so it hasn't spread. So that's a good thing. And so anyway, you pray for them. Looks like July, 1st of July is when they would do whatever they decide to do. Steve and Debbie have the opportunity to go to Israel in June, and I don't think they've ever been to Israel before. And so the doctor told them that it would be fine, that if they put it off a month, that it wouldn't affect anything. And so anyway, you pray for Brother Steve and Debbie and the family out in Tucson, in Marana, Arizona. Continue to pray for Martha Richardson as she recovers. Sonny Branham, Judy was here for Sunday school, but didn't feel comfortable leaving him for a couple of hours at home. The back pain has subsided. It's the shoulder where the ladder fell on him. And they seem to think that it's more than likely just arthritis. Somehow the ladder falling, he's had rotator cuff surgery. And so when the ladder fell, it didn't do any damage there, but it just probably sort of triggered, sometimes a fall can do that. If you fall in the right place and there's arthritis there, it can sort of trigger that. And so they're hoping that over the next week or two, that'll sort of subside as well. So we just have to wait and see how he does. Okay. All right. Oh, Chad, you pray for Chad. Chad had to go to work. Oh, he just almost wept telling me and said the owner, I'm just going to tell it. I don't guess she's watching, but the owner was being sort of sarcastic to me and said, you know, I don't want to work on Sunday. And said, after today, I'm not going to. And she said, well, can't you just have church here? And he said, no, I can't have church here. And I told him, I said, I may go down there this afternoon and meet her and say, we'd like to have service here tonight. Would that be okay? I bet that burner bridge, wouldn't it? Amen. I'll tell you, I better get a free pizza out of it. He'd say, don't come over here. I'll give you all pizza. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. But anyway, that he had to leave because of that. I think Andrew has to leave in a little bit. So if he leaves, he's been called in too. Sometimes that happens. So anyway, you pray for these folks as they are needing prayer. All right, Brian, come on ahead. This announcement.
All right, coming up on the end of April here, we don't have a whole lot on the calendar coming up. We do have a choir practice today at 4:45, so a little 15 minutes later than normal. 4:45 for every member of the choir to be here this afternoon. Then service at 5:30, of course. Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. And that's all we got this week on the church calendar. Of course, that doesn't mean that we all can't be busy doing something for the Lord on our own. So whatever the Lord lays on your heart to serve this week, you do that. We'll be back here next Sunday, the 29th. The pastor and his family going up to New York later this week. He'll probably talk more about that. Brother Scott Cowick will be here next Sunday, preach for us Sunday morning and Sunday night. So you want to be here for that. We love Brother Scott. Just remember that. 3 weeks from today is Mother's Day. As we get into May, we'll get into a little more busy. The Lord, I hope you'll get involved in all those things. All right. I need to announce, I'm sorry. Ladies Jubilee coming up the first Saturday in June. Now, we have sent invitations out to churches like we always do. We have a mailing list, and the ladies are good to take care and organize that. But we also want each lady to take a few personal invitations that they can personally give to individuals that the Lord lays on their heart. We'd like for each lady to get up to three, if you can, to invite people to come to our Ladies' Jubilee. So I hope every lady will see Miss Judy after the service. She's got them all, and she'll hand them out to you. But if there's someone that you know we haven't mailed one to, most of those are churches. But if you have a friend or a loved one that you want to come and you want to give them an invite, see Miss Judy, and she'll give you those invites this morning.
Right. Brother Tim comes back. Please say a couple of things. Number one, thank you to all the men that went out yesterday knocking on doors. Had eight, I think, altogether. Nine altogether. And so had four groups that went out knocking on doors and handed out, I don't know how many, I guess 100 tracts or thereabouts. Anyway, I appreciate them doing that. We'll do that again in two more weeks and finish the neighborhood over in Elgin where we started at, or where they started. I had to be gone yesterday morning, but I had an opportunity to witness to my other brother yesterday for a few minutes. Didn't go very far. He seems to think that he's okay, but there's not a lot of evidence there. So I'm sure I'm going to have to really pray and go down there and try to talk to him some more about his soul. But anyway, I do appreciate that. And I want to mention the tracts. Now listen, I don't know how we've done this week since revival, but we're a little bit behind in the month of March. I'm sorry, April. April. And so we need to get tracts and get them out there. Now, Joaquin's not here, but we've got plenty of tracts back there. He left plenty back there ready to go. So please get you some tracts and hand them out this week. Give them to people. Don't let that thing wane. Sometimes that's how it happens. You get excited. You see it really goes well. And then all of a sudden you feel like you got it licked. And then before you know it, you're not doing it anymore. It's the same way with church. It's the same way with anything. I mean, God, we need to remember that the same God that gave us the excitement 2 weeks ago had given it to us this week, too. And even though we don't have a lot of stuff going on, the church had a great revival meeting. I'm telling you, if you missed any of it, it was great. Brother Brian preached some great, great, great messages and really helped a lot of folk. And so we appreciate everybody that was faithful to come. But get those tracts before you leave and make sure that you take some and give them out. Don't just take them, stick them in your car somewhere or in your Bible. Give them to somebody. Put them somewhere where somebody can see it. And you never know what might come from it. Okay? All right, Brother Tim, let's have this song.
266. I belong to the King. Let's stand. We'll sing all three stanzas. 266. Sing together now.
I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love. I shall dwell in His palace so fair. For He tells of its bliss in yon heaven above, and His children its splendor shall share. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes. And He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness so free are unceasingly mine wheresoever I go, and my refuge unfailing is He. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and His promise is sure that we all shall be gathered at last in His kingdom above.
Sing that chorus again. Get us started, and then we'll have the instruments drop out. We'll sing it a cappella.
I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His
singing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right, ushers, come on ahead. And let me get, I know Joaquin's not here, so I need one more. Come up here, Brian. You look like you're dressed for the occasion. All right. You handle these fellas all right? Okay. All right. It's time to give. It's under the Lord, of course, and I hope you'll give Appreciate the way you gave during the revival. We were able to give Brother Brian a great love offering, and all but just a couple $100 was given during the week, and I really appreciate that. And you were great to do that. He called and said thank you. He so enjoyed the meeting and being here, and he loves our church, and we love him. And they've so I told him if they have any kind of special meetings coming up anytime, let us know. I'd love to take a crowd, go down there. We went last year to a Saturday, something they had for men, and had a good time. But I tell you, they're great folks out there, and we're looking forward to spending some time with them again over the next while. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and thank you again for the opportunity to give back a portion of that which you've blessed us with. And Lord, we do appreciate the way God's people give. But Lord, we know that we need to be faithful every week, every other week, every month, however it is. For the Bible said that we should not rob God. Will a man rob God? Don't want to do that, Lord. You've been too good to us. And Lord, you've always been good to return it back to us and even more than we give. And that's the kind of God we serve. And I pray that you'll continue to bless and help God's people obey in the area of tithing and giving. And we love you and thank you for all you do. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before Pastor comes this morning, we have the Anchor Trio coming to sing.
One great message, two important words, most important words we can say to this world out there.
Just believe it, Jesus.
Still saved, say amen.
Yes, he does. Amen.
All right, get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you. I'm glad he's still saved. Hallelujah. So, Jimmy, aren't you glad he still saves? Jimmy got saved Tuesday night at the revival meeting. What a joy that was, and praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad he's still saving. We just got to get the word out there that he is. That's our responsibility. I want you to turn to John chapter 8 this morning. Gospel of John chapter 8. I want you to find your place there, and then turn to James chapter 1. I'm going to read John 8 first and several verses out of that chapter and then go to the book of James. By the way, we're glad to have this couple came in. I'm sure you assumed we started at 11 o'clock, right? We're going to have to put some more prominent signage out there for our starting time. Anyway, I appreciate y'all. Tell us your name, sir, if you would. Todd, this is Todd. We're glad to have you all today. God bless you, and I'll get to speak to you a little bit more after the service, but thank you for being here. And like I say, we'll do our best to get some bigger signage out there that tells folks that we start at 10:30, all right? But I'm glad you came. All right, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. It's page 1126 if you have a Scofield Bible. And listen to what the Word of God says, beginning in verse number 12. Bible said, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying," now, he's talking to the Pharisees, who once again have questioned him about his deity. Christ has told them that he is the Son of God. And in fact, he's even told them that he was God. And that certainly got those religious Pharisees all bent out of shape, because here's a man who is claiming to be God. Well, he wasn't just claiming to be God. He was God. What John chapter 1 tells us, but they always were trying to find some reason to accuse him and later to destroy him, and finally when they couldn't find a reason, they just destroyed him anyway. He did that for a reason, so that we could be here today and know the Lord. Notice it says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Record is not true." Now that's them talking. That's the Pharisees saying, "We've heard what you said. We don't believe it. You're lying to us." Well, of course, we know he was not. It goes on to say, Jesus answered and said to them, "Oh, I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. Ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." Now, this is the theme here, and I want you to pay attention here as we read several verses more. He said, verse 17, "It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." You remember the Old Testament, when God was giving the law, and he told Moses, if someone's brought to trial, especially for a murder or some major crime, that one witness was not enough. There had to be at least two witnesses bring that charge. And so Jesus is reminding them of the law of Moses. He said in verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." So what he's saying is, there's two of us that are witnessing to this. What they couldn't get was they were the same person. And so really there were three: Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're all one. But he's making the point here that he is doing it according to the law. Verse 19, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he. And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Now, I want to stop there a moment and just kind of intertwine here the fact that Jesus, although he is very center of the gospel, and he's the one that died for our sins. He is reminding them that he is doing the will of the Father, that God is his Father, and that he is doing what his Father, what his Father put in him is what he is doing. And of course, we need to apply that ourselves. If we believe, if we're born again, then God is our Father. And so we're wanting to do whatever God the Father puts in us to. Jesus is simply separating himself and those who know God from those who do not. And so he goes on now, verse 29. He said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." He answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." They said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So they're trying to include themselves in his message here. He said, "Ye do the deeds of your father." In verse 42, I'm sorry. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Now look at verse 44. He spent all this time talking about who his Father was. And they tried to convince him that they were also children of God. But notice Jesus, who said, "My record is true," answered. He said in verse 44, "Ye are of your Father," who? Ouch. By the way, that's a long way from God, and that's a long way from Abraham. I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus did not try to smooth this thing over. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father ye will do." He said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not of the truth, because there is no truth in him. And he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Father, I pray you bless the word of God to our hearts this evening. Speak through these lips of clay, Lord, this thought. I've tried to put this together in the fashion you'd want me to. Help me to deliver it in that way. God, give us power this morning, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now I want you to turn to James chapter 1, because now Jesus has told the Pharisees and anyone who does not know the Lord. By the way, if you're not born again, he's talking to you. And by the way, those of us that are saved, he's talking to us about what family we used to belong to. Now I want you to turn to James chapter 1 and notice this right here, and I'll give you the message. James chapter 1 is page number 1306. Have a Scofield Bible. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I want to preach a few moments on this subject, the devil's daycare. Devil's daycare. I would want to put my children in the devil's daycare. Do you know there are a lot of Christians who are carrying around babies that the devil laid at their doorstep? And they're acting like the devil's daycare. Now, remember in John, Jesus repeatedly said, "I and my Father are one. And he's my Father. I'm his Son. I am of him. And he begat me." The Bible said he's the only begotten Son of God. And so we know where Jesus came from. But then he also said to those Pharisees, "But you are of your father, the devil." So now there's a distinction here between families. One is the family of God.
Now, I've told you this before, and it doesn't matter what the world says. We are not all the family of God. If you're saved and born again, you're part of the family of God. But if you're not saved, you're the creation of God. And you are the purpose for Jesus coming to save you and take you by adoption out of the devil's family and putting you into God's family. And that's what salvation does. You're reconciled. You are taken. Remember what David said? He snatched my feet out of the miry clay and he set my feet upon a rock. That's a change of place, a change of purpose, change of plan. All of that happens when you get saved. These Pharisees were trying religiously to kind of intermix themselves in the family of God, and Jesus said it's not going to happen. He said, in fact, if you die in your sins, if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sin. Then gives to James this verse that says, in James chapter 1, lust when it hath conceived. That is a birth word. Lust when it is conceived. Notice what it does after the conception. It bringeth forth sin. What we have here, we have the conception. And I want to use, because remember Jesus spent the majority of chapter 8 talking about the father and son relationship, family. And he said, I am of my father. He said, but you are of your father. How about that? By the way, when he said you are of your father, the devil, he's not talking to believers. He's talking to those Pharisees, those religious but lost Pharisees. Stay with me. And so we find here in this picture that Jesus gives that he said that in verse, and you don't have to go back there, but in John, he said in verse 29, he said, those of us that are born of God will please him. Those of us that have that nature of God. And I want you to remember that because I found something out that I'm going to share with you that I think will help you. It helped me. But we noticed that it said that it would want to please him. Yet the Pharisees were a type of religious sinner. And you know what? The church today is full of religious sinners. I don't want to just hammer the subject. But my brother, who just got saved, was a religious sinner. He knew a lot of scripture. He was using scripture even before he got saved. I was a religious sinner. I was in Christian school and in a good church, but I was lost. Shelton was a religious sinner. Judy was a religious sinner. I mean, listen, many of us, if you had any experience in church, you learned enough to hurt yourself. But you didn't learn enough to get saved until Jesus came by and saved you. And all of a sudden, all that stuff you learned meant something. Boy, listen, my brother went to a revival meeting Friday night in another church in Union County. He called my mother, and my mother was just weeping on the phone when she told me. Now, Jeff called and said he went to a revival meeting at a church there in Union County, and he said, he called her and said, Mom, he said, I can't believe what I've been missing. 54 years he had religion. But now, all of a sudden, all that stuff he learned is now coming to life because he got life. And that's the wonderful thing about, and by the way, when you get life, you want to please Father. And so here these Pharisees, the Bible said in John, he sought to kill Jesus. I don't know about you, but since God saved me, I've never sought to kill Jesus. I don't even want to hurt him. I know I do with my life, but I don't want to hurt him because I have a new nature that says to obey and honor him. I don't want to hurt him. Those men sought to kill him, the Bible said. Then here in James chapter 1, the Bible declares that those who allow sin to be conceived will bring forth that sin. And so it starts with a conception. That knows what the Bible said. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. That's the concession. No, it comes in your mind. I told the kids Friday in chapel that temptation is not sin. Because if it was, Jesus is a sinner. Because he got tempted, didn't he? But he overcame the temptation. The Bible said there's no temptation taken you. But such is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The temptation itself is not sin. It's when it conceives. But it gets into your heart to the point that you start to think about it, plan for it, and you start making peripheral plans about, well, what if it goes good, okay, but what if it doesn't? And I gotta tell this lie, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, because I don't want anybody to know that there's sin in my life. Amen? So when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember it. When you tell lies, you always got to remember what you said. Hope everybody else remembers what you said. Say amen right there. And the Bible, what did Jesus say about the devil? He said he is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And so find the conception. He said lust was conceived, bringeth forth sin. And then sin when it is finished. Meaning that it was done. That speaks of commission. The commission of that sin bringeth forth death. That's the condemnation. Now, real quickly for a few moments, I want to look at this idea here of this birth. Because we know that it takes two to birth. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, am I saying something that's not right? You're going to have a birth, you've got to have two. Man and a woman. Amen right there. Not a man or a woman and a woman. You'll never achieve it that way. Got to have two. Now, remember what I said. Jesus said, I'm of my Father, and what's in me came from Him. You're here without Christ, but then I want you to know that you're of your father, the devil, and what's in you comes from Him, no matter how good you try to be. Now, we think about this, and what happens? Sin is brought into that situation. All of a sudden, there seems to be what we call an affair. When a man, a husband, or wife cheats on their, and I'm not trying to get vulgar here. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Because we know that's wrong and you shouldn't do it, but it happens. When that happens, it's usually because another man or another woman has created the lust that brings forth conception of sin. And it brings forth that what we call an affair. And it destroys marriages and destroys families and can destroy a church. Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth because he was worried about their fornication. Here's what happens. Lust. Where does lust come from? It doesn't come from God. Because if you'll read verse 13 of James chapter 1, the Bible said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So whatever's gotten into your mind that brings, that's lustful, and I don't necessarily mean immoral lust, I mean just wanting to do wrong. The urge and the natural desire of the human being to sin does not and never will come from God. Jesus said, what's in me comes from God. And Jesus was perfect. But if we're saved today, then we ought to have that same nature. Does it make us perfect in the flesh? Obviously, because we're not God. We're not the Lord. But we're to strive for that mastery, to strive for that perfection. We're to work at it until Jesus comes. Well, when we have, and when someone has an affair with the devil, a lot of times when that happens in the human relationship, suddenly there are children involved that we're not planned for. And it brings guilt and shame and loneliness, and those children feel left out, and the natural children feel left out. Because there's been a division in the family, and now all of a sudden there are people involved who are innocent in the story. See, when you and I, now I'm really dealing more with those who are not saved. You and I have the same opportunity to have an affair with the devil. When you and I got saved, what did we become? The bride of Christ. Is that right? Is that what the Bible calls us? We're the bride of Christ. So you know what that makes him? Our husband. We're married. Heck, we get to heaven, the first thing we do is have a reception called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yeah. Guess what? Guess what, Christian? We are not perfect. Our nature is not divine yet. And so we are tempted often to have an affair with the devil. And if we fall for it and we allow it to happen, we don't get right when God deals with us at that moment, and it can bring forth sin. Can not only destroy our testimony and our lives, but the lives of others, including unsaved folks, that we'll have a hard time winning if we can't keep from having an affair with the devil ourselves. What about Adam and Eve? Remember when God made Adam? That's what I want to show you. In fact, turn to Genesis chapter 2 with me just a moment. Let's turn back there. I'm moving along here because I don't want to be too long. Genesis chapter 2, here's where we read about creation, the creation of man in verse 16. I want you to look at verse 16. Now, he has created man, Adam. Eve has not been made yet. So look what it says in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Genesis. And the Lord commanded a man, Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Who did God tell that to? Adam. Eve isn't even made till chapter 3. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is God commanded Adam before Eve was created. You'll remember when the devil tempted Eve, she ate the fruit. Nothing happened. Did God pronounce judgment and Eve ate fruit? It wasn't until Adam ate the fruit. You know why? Because God commanded Adam. Now, we know that he told Eve because when Satan tempted her, she made a half-hearted effort trying to tell the devil what God really said, but he already had her all bamboozled anyway. And so here comes the temptation when she goes to Adam and says, here, eat this. And Adam said, we cannot. Adam remembered the commandment. But guess what? Hey, listen, I'm talking about having an affair with the devil. Guess what she did? She said, go ahead and eat it. I did. And nothing happened to me. I didn't die. Now, it's not recorded this way, but I can just imagine her sort of not badgering Adam, but just kind of saying, come on. Because you remember, what's the first thing Adam said when God confronted him about it? The woman you gave me. I thought about something. Now, ladies, this might help you. You know, when your kids are born and, you know, they do and act certain ways. You know, and somebody will say, boy, they really look like their mother or like their dad. But if what I'm reading is correct, and God brought judgment on the human race, not because of Eve, but because of Adam. Guess what, ladies? Next time somebody says, underwear that youngin got all their meanness, and dad says, from his mother. That's a lie. You know where he got his meanness? From his daddy. Because daddy's the one that God judged, broke the commandment. I thought I'd get a better one than that. I was thinking about taking a love offering right there. Hey, you know what? You know why I believe that? Because John chapter 8, who did Jesus say his daddy was? God, right? Who was his mother? If he got any of the traits of his mother, but he got his trait from his dad. Amen, ladies? Glory to God, hallelujah. I'll be at the door of the bucket. I'm saying that Adam and Eve had an affair with the devil, but it brought sin to mankind because Adam disobeyed. And I want you to, you remember Samson and Delilah? Samson. Brother Brian mentioned Samson in the Wednesday night message. Remember Samson, the strongest man, had the Spirit of God on him until he saw a Philistine woman named Delilah. And the Bible says, if you read over there in Judges, chapter, was it 6? Yeah, Judges, no, chapter 16. It won't take time to go there. But three separate times, Samson laid his head in Delilah's lap. What he was doing? Having an affair with the devil. And three times he tempted him. You know, he told her, you know, what about your strength? You know, and she was just baiting him. And he'd tell her a story. And it didn't work. The Philistines would come and he'd kill him. Three times he did that. But she kept on. She said, why do you mock me? You know what she did, fellas? She pulled out a dangerous dagger. If love melts. And guess what? Fourth time, he fell for it. And you know what happened? You know what happened to Samson, don't you? That lust was conceived, and it brought forth sin, and it bound him, it blinded him, and finally it buried him. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. What about God's people? I mentioned we're the bride of Christ. God cannot produce sin, because sin causes death on the inside, doesn't it? Think about it. If you drink alcohol, you know what they say? It kills all your brain cells. You start to die on the inside. If you take drugs, it destroys much of your immune cells and even brain. Now they're talking about legalizing marijuana. That's just what we need. But when you take those drugs, it kills you on the inside. It kills on the inside. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. If you commit immorality, fornication or adultery, listen. So the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when you do that, it is a sin against the body. In other words, if you have an affair with the devil and you let sin get in, it'll start to kill you on the inside. It'll take away your joy. It'll take away your peace. It'll take away your happiness. And it will steal your testimony. Listen, for the believer, when that happens, that's just like dying. It's just like dying. Hey, so wait a minute, preacher. I thought you were preaching on the devil's daycare. Well, I am. Because you know what comes from that conception, don't you? Sin and babies. The devil has babies. And they either are conceived through sinners who, because they don't like us, they don't like what we're preaching, they will lie. And if you go back to John, remember what he said? That he was a murderer and a liar. So it's amazing how some people, you ready? Here we go. We're going to the daycare now. Somebody tells a lie on you. That ever happened before? I don't know about you, but it has me. And they tell a lie on you. Not true. They lie about it. That's what the devil does. He's gotten somebody to have an affair with him, and they birth a liar. A lie. Well, here's where the devil's daycare comes in. Because we find out about it, and you know what we do? All of a sudden, we have an affair with it. What do you mean, preacher? We have a baby called... It's not... Listen, that didn't come from God. What Jesus said? What's in me came from my Father. God, and God does not tempt with evil. God's not going to give you a baby like that. Here's what we do. Hey, they lied on me. They said something I don't like. And I'll tell you right now, I'll never forgive them for it. That's because the devil's daycare. Now you've got that baby of hatred in your arms. And if you don't do what God said and give the devil his baby back, pretty soon here's what happens. You know what? Somebody said, man, you ought to turn that loose. Well, you know, I've had him for a while. I've kind of nursed him along. And you know, I just don't want to give him back now. I've just become the devil's daycare. He left one of his babies at your doorstep and you're taken care of. And if you don't learn, put that hatred behind you and get it under the blood, your life will be a total wreck. Because all you ever want to do is get even. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Are you with me now? I'll be done here in about 2 minutes. Listen, there's the baby of hatred. Hey, there's the baby. Boy, this is a Baptist one if I ever heard one. There's the baby of hurt feeling. Oh, brother, so-and-so did something I don't like. You know what? I'm not going back to that church again. You just became the devil's daycare. He just dropped the baby of hurt feelings off at your door and you go nurse him for all. He'll raise that young man. Hello? I don't like what that preacher said. I happen to know that Brother Steve got a phone call. Conversation with someone who's been in our church. And he said, missed you. She said, I'm not coming back. How come? Because that preacher never says anything to make me feel good. I mean, all he ever does is make us feel bad. He is now becoming the devil's daycare. I'm telling you right now, Sister So-and-so said something, and I'll never get over it, and I'm going to go somewhere. I'm not going back down there, and I'm going to raise this youngin. It will destroy you. Better get past them hurt feelings. Listen, I'm telling you, I know. I've been there. I'm telling you, I've been hurt. I made up my mind. I wasn't going to let what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching out to those things which are before. I pressed toward the mark. I gave the devil his baby back and said, you raise him. I ain't got time. Not just the baby of hurt feelings and hatred, but there's the baby of haughtiness. You know, I've been at that church a while, and I ought to have a position. That preacher and them deacons gave it to somebody else. And I'll tell you right now, I'm more qualified. Here's that baby of pride. I'll tell you right now, I know people who have said this very thing. When I left that church because they wouldn't, and I prayed that that church would fail. I prayed that just became the devil's day. You're going to carry that wicked pride? The Bible said pride goeth before destruction. Didn't come from God, by the way. Jesus said, what I have comes from God. He said, but ye are of your father, the devil. Better be careful. If you're lost, you'll birth that baby. And if you're saved, you'll tote that baby around with you, and it will destroy. What about the baby hard-heartedness? Yeah. A lot of folks that are hard-hearted, they tote that baby around. Here's one, and I'm through. Baby of split. And another word for that is, I'm telling you, there's more of those baby devil's daycare than any other. Because the root of bitterness, I mentioned this 2 ago, Wednesday night. If Satan can lay bitterness at your door, you'll nurse that baby. You'll kiss on that baby because it makes the devil has convinced you that bitterness makes you feel better. I'm mad at somebody. Never going to get over it. And so I feel better. And then you know what happens? Take that baby down to the daycare and you find other bitterness babies down there and other parents. Now you got a clan. I'll tell you right now, I'm bitter about me too. Me too. But you know, we're kindred spirit. Hey, both of them just carrying that baby around. Oh, your baby's so beautiful. Well, yours is too. They're looking through eyes of bitterness. They don't see the wickedness of toting them babies around. Are with me today? I told you I'm done and I am. You know, I prayed. I said, Lord, give me some good happy ending to this. Let me tell you here's how it ought to end. Give them babies back. You're not of the devil and you shouldn't be carrying his babies around. If he's laid them at your door, you give them back. The devil, you take this bitterness, this haughtiness, this hostility, this hurt feelings. You take this off. This is yours. You raise them. That's the only way that the bride of Christ and the church will continue and grow is if we get rid of the devil's daycare. As we nurse and hold these babies of sin, all of a sudden we become attached. I really honor Melissa Birchmore, folks like her that are foster parents. We'll take children who don't have families and love them. But Melissa will be the first to tell you. And I know, you get attached to those kids, don't you? In fact, she adopted one. That's my girlfriend right there. She's had, how many of you had over the years? 15 or more? And when we met, she started coming to church, she'd tell me about those kids. I'm telling you, I'd get so attached, I would never want to let them go. I just love children. I want to let them go. Get attached. Those babies, when Satan's babies come along, you start loving it more and more. Well, if you start loving those babies more and more, guess who you're not going to love more and more?
Mm-hmm.
And we detach ourselves, others, because we now think that we're the only ones that can care for that baby. And when you get there, the devil's got you. Because you'll raise that baby and your testimony will be ruined. Your desire to love God. Listen, you'll be one of those that preachers and others are praying and preaching to get right with God, and you won't do it because you will not detach yourself from the devil's date. You need to remember who father of those babies are. It's the devil. We need to give these babies back and let him raise them. Because our Father, Jehovah God, cannot and will not bless us for running the devil's daycare. If you got some of them babies, and by the way, there's many more. It's a big daycare, but I don't have time to get into all of them. It's a big place. There's lots of babies in that daycare. You know what babies turn into? Toddlers. It's bad enough to have real children when they turn two. Imagine if you got one of the devil's kids. Heck, several places where I pastor, they always said well, we won't go into all that, but I'm just saying, we need to be careful. Our Father puts the right things in. We have the right traits. Unless, you remember why God, one of the reasons God destroyed Israel is because they committed spiritual adultery with the gods of other countries. God called it spiritual adultery. What it was. They cheated on God. Well, if we start opening up the devil's daycare at our house, then we're cheating on the Lord, aren't we? We're having an affair with the devil. And it can only bring, Father, we love you today.
Thank you for the message. I hope they focus on it, but I know it's what you
want me to preach. I've done it. I'm finished. Not anything more to say. Lord, I know in my own heart, I have carried around Satan's young, the idea of hatred, haughtiness, the idea of hostility, hurt feeling. Oh, God. I've been there. I know how it can press and discourage and destroy God's people. It's only by the grace of God that I learned through my Heavenly Father, who said, I love you more than He does. I'll put in you the right things if you'll give Him those babies back. And it took some time, but I'm glad that I believe, God, you give me victory over that. Lord, I'm still open to temptation. I'm still a human being. I'm still a man. I'm still flesh. Lord, everybody in this room is flesh. Whether they're lost or saved, they're flesh. Either they will be doing of their father the devil as unsaved folk, or if they're saved, they got to be careful not to have an affair with the devil. We don't want to be the cause of someone's demise. We don't want to be the cause of someone's depression or at least their discouragement. But Lord, I pray that if there's folks here, I know Satan's telling them now, Don't go up there and give me that baby back, because if you do, everybody's going to know you were carrying one. God, I'd have to say everybody in this room ought to be at the altar, because we've all toted them at one time or another. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that just needs to get past those hurt feelings and get past that hostility, get past haughtiness. Lord, I believe we can move on for God. I believe they can have victory in their Christian walk. Lord, I pray you'll have your way in this moment of invitation. God, help us here at Anchor not to open up the devil's daycare. Help us to do what our Father wants us to do. And His name is Jehovah. We love you. Thank you for all you do. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.